Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it not necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you that though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam, for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, light autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Let us pray. Lord, we are unworthy with the consideration that you give to us, in a sense, naturally that is. But now that you have adopted us as your sons and daughters, we have, by your own decree, become worthy. It is your word that has done so. Not ours, not our good works, but you and your decree and the execution of that decree and the special providence of the sending of your only begotten Son and his Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you have done that, and we thank you for the wisdom that you constantly pour out on your church here by Jude. We pray that by the Spirit of wisdom, we would become wise by the words that are inscripturated here. We ask that we would not just be hearers of this word, but that we would be doers, and that we would be practiced, that we would be truly a group of people who have practiced moral wisdom. In the name of Christ, amen. You may be seated. Over the last few weeks, Jude planted seeds for us to mature in moral discernment. He introduced us to timeless paradigms of villains. Cain, who uses violence to establish falsehood and immorality. Balaam, who uses God's people to fulfill his other lusts like power, money, and status. Korah, who demonstrates antisocial behavior, not knowing, or at least not submitting, to the hierarchy which God intends within society. Jude continues this moral training tonight, and you'll notice that we've moved into a whole nother set of images. Imagery from nature. These analogies from the natural world are given to you by God through his servant Jude, to help you to recognize dangerous people and to admonish and correct others when we see it among ourselves. The basic assumption present in Jude is that the people who cause us trouble use pretense and therefore hide who they really are. Let me say that again. I'm still in the introduction of the sermon, but let me say that again because this is a very important point. The basic assumption present in Jude is that the people who cause us trouble use pretense to hide who they really are. If a murderer came to you and said, "I'm a murderer and I murder," you would run. But if someone came to you and said, "I take care of people," you stay there and then they murder you. You see, that's what makes it so difficult. And that's what's underneath of all that Jude is saying, is that the difficult part and the reason why we need moral discernment is because there's pretense. And so what he's doing here is he is giving us biblical images to help us to start discerning who people really are, that we might continue God's work. A biblical image that is used often is that they are wolves in sheep's clothing. That's the image that I just gave you in another context. Jude gives us this instruction, interestingly, and this is perhaps more true, it seems, in our generation than in the generation of my grandmother or my great-grandmother. It seems that we have become unlike other creatures in the world, and we have a very difficult time seeing trouble and danger and traps. That is not the case with other creatures, for the most part. For example, we have chickens. And though you may think that chickens are just a dumb yard bird, insofar as they are chickens, they are actually quite wise. They recognize predators in the area far quicker than I would ever. I find that they know when a predator is in the area faster than anyone in my family or in our neighborhood. The chickens know when a hawk is perched, or when a snake slithers, or a raccoon is seeking to bandit some eggs, or a fox is in the general area. They know. And nowadays, though I think it used to be more so in earlier generations, nowadays it seems that, generally speaking, it is not the same with us. We are actually taught from our culture to not make moral discernments about people, and we are considered villains if we, for example, morally profile anyone. So that's a real problem, and God meets that problem with the wisdom in Jude. We need training to recognize hazardous people, and Jude gives us several images to help. We're just going to look at the first connected image tonight, and then we'll draw out a little bit of an exhortation from that. You can see the first image is in verse 12. There's just a whole series of images that are there. But I want to focus by just looking at, they are spots in your love feasts. Now that's one translation that I'm actually going to depart from. But let's just take it for granted that that is in fact what Jude is saying, that they are spots in your love feast. The idea then is that during the community's meals, after which there would be the Lord's Supper of the church, they took advantage of the people in that social setting. I mean, imagine for a moment, and I know this would never happen in a Christian community, where people would take advantage where a large group of Christians are getting together in order to sell products, right? That's the kind of thing that they would be doing. They would be taking advantage with no real interest in the people, but only interest in themselves. And so what Jude would basically would be saying is that the communion of saints was, in fact, like a beautiful face, all ready for a dance. But because of the presence of these manipulators, that face now has a giant zit on it, and I'm not sure you should go out in public. The word for spots, however, is more likely, according to multiple commentators with which I've checked, is a word for rocks or reefs. It is meant to refer to that concern that all people that have sailboats have. It is a kind of nautical term for treacherous rocks which shipwreck those sailing. Now, I grew up going on vacation to Chincoteague, Virginia, so this is not odd to me. In Chincoteague, Virginia, there may be more boats sunk than not sunk. And it's because they have sandbars, not reefs, but they act the same way. In many places, this Chincoteague, they don't even have official markers. Around here, you'll see buoys warning you of reefs or downed or those things which are under the surface of the water. But the locals in Chincoteague would put broomsticks now and again. They'd stab them into the sand, and then you'd kind of know, I want to stay about 5 feet off of that and then make a right. They had their own way of warning people of danger. And that's what's going on here with Jude when he gives you this kind of imagery. Jude has marked certain people with the broomstick of his instruction. They are shipwrecking rocks. Now, that's a very different way of talking about people, isn't it? It's a very different way. We oftentimes are afraid to talk about people like that, but Jude's not, because they really are that. Jude further characterizes them, if you'll keep reading, in verse 12. And this is really where this idea of them being treacherous rocks is unfolded and developed, but in a different imagery, now moving over to being a shepherd. He says that they are those who feast without fear, serving only themselves. This is an allusion to Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 10. And I've included that in the bulletin for you. We read through it during the confession of sin portion. And I'm going to read through it again for you because it's actually a little bit longer than what's in there. And you can follow along in the word, Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10, that is in your Bibles or in the bulletin. Because this is important. This is important background and theology for what Jude is trying to say. The major problem here is that these folks who are showing up to the love feasts are presenting themselves as the shepherds of the people. But if the people go along with these false teachers, what is going to happen is what happens to a boat when it hits a reef. That's his point, okay? So he's warning them. But here is what he says in Ezekiel and is applying it to this group of people. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. And here's the kind of quote that Jude picks up. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed or serve themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. You hear the echoes of the New Testament? I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed or serve themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. Now, this passage, besides Jude using it here, this passage was used often in the early church. It explains the ministry of Jesus, especially in the book of Matthew, and what he was faced with. And it is especially present in the teaching of Jesus in Matthew 18. This is the background of Jesus' teaching in Matthew 18. He's seeking to tell his disciples, do not become like these shepherds. Instead, use Matthew 18, 15, and following with forgiveness. These people who joined them in fellowship meals present themselves like shepherds, but Jude says they do not live up to the title. You see the pretense and that which is hidden. In fact, they are more like wolves who scatter and gobble up the flock. That's actually what is happening outside of pretense. That would be a pretty good summary of that passage. Now, that's Jude's teaching just with those two images, the combining of the wrecking rocks and the shepherding image. You can see the kind of people that he's dealing with. Have you ever thought about, as we move into a present-day exhortation, have you ever thought about how Jude recognized these shipwrecking rocks and wolves in sheep's clothing? Have you ever thought about how he recognized them? How do you know if they're full of pretense, if they're con artists, if they're selling snake oil? How do you know? If you study Jude, you will see that he relies on the moral discernment which Jesus himself used. Jesus says this about the same kinds of people. Beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You can see that reference there to Ezekiel. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. It sounds like child's play, but it ends up being profound moral teaching. Think about what Jude is saying in light of Jesus' own teachings. Just think about that for a moment. Do you know, let me pose this question to you. Do you know why reefs shipwreck ships? Because people cannot see them. They are hidden. That's what makes them so treacherous. Do you know why wolves in sheep's clothing trick people into thinking they are sheep? Because they are in sheep's clothing. Jesus tells us, though, that who they really are comes out in their fruit. The fruit of a reef. Let's just do this as a way to ease into this kind of moral discernment and thinking about how God has told you to think about his reality after the fall. The fruit of a reef is at least two things in my experience. A little white cap wave at low tide, and the remains of ships abandoned around it. That's kind of an obvious sign, obvious fruit. The fruit of a wolf in sheep's clothing are sheep bones scattered round about him. Scattered sheep. If we adopt how Christ tells us to look at the world, then we'd grow in moral discernment. But I'm telling you, this doesn't happen overnight. You really need to get yourself in the mindset. You need to be praying that God would give you this kind of moral discernment. It is a kind of wisdom that only comes by way of the Spirit. But by the Spirit and the grace of Christ, he is causing us to mature in this kind of moral discernment and how we evaluate our life. It's not about facts, it's about the significance of things and what things really are and what they mean. And God alone can tell us that. Staying with Christ's image, here is what you must first do if you're going to follow Jude and the wisdom that he gives us from Christ. The first thing is that you must see what kind of person they present themselves to be. That is key. What kind of person do they present themselves to be? Sometimes it doesn't make any difference because we don't rely on this person for anything. They're not in a position of authority. They're kind of isolated. They present themselves to be, it doesn't matter. They're insignificant. But there are others who present themselves to be certain ways. And you must pay attention to how people present themselves in ways that matter. And then here's what you do, number two. See if the fruit of their lives matches that presentation. If I said I'm a fig tree, but I never had any figs for you, but only pears, well, then something's not right. And now you can take that same way of from nature over into our lives, and people present themselves all kinds of ways, but is that who they really are? If you want to relate everything back to Jude, let's do this, because He's talking about those who are false teachers and presenting themselves as shepherds. And so this is what Jude is doing. He's saying, there are people in your midst who say that they are the real shepherds for you. They will lead you into knowing what to believe concerning God and what duties he does or does not require of you. They have figured the whole thing out and they are claiming to be shepherds. Okay, that's how they present themselves, but let's look and see if the fruit of a shepherd grows from them. And let's just use the list from Ezekiel. Do they strengthen the weak? Do they care for those who are sick? Do they bind up the broken? Do they bring back that which was driven away? Have they sought that which was lost? Have they ruled over the people with gentleness and honor and love? Jude's answer, and he could have pointed to specific experiences that they all had with those people at these fellowship meals, his answer is, that's not the fruit in their lives. They don't care for you. Look at Exhibit A, Exhibit B, and Exhibit C. Those fruits are not there. And then, guess what? They are not who they present themselves to be. And sometimes, that really matters. It really matters, and we need to know how to have that kind of moral discernment. This can be put even more simply, if you want. We love listening and have listened to for a long time. These Christian songs on this CD called Root Slugs and Bugs or Rain for Roots. Thanks. All of a sudden, the name was replaced by a secular band from high school. It's the devil. It's Rusted Root, right? Yeah, so, yeah, not that one. We don't listen to that since the little kids were small. But this is what we did listen to. Apples don't grow on pear trees. Apples don't grow on pear trees. Apples don't grow on pear trees. There's no apples there. It only grows pears. That's the moral discernment that we're looking at here, that is captured in that little song that comes from Christ's teaching his church to have moral discernment. Also, as Christ is surrounded by those who present themselves one way as whitewashed tombs but are rotten to the core inside. Jude continues this moral training tonight by using imagery from nature. These analogies from the natural world help us to recognize dangerous people and to admonish and correct others when we see it among ourselves, even nipping it in the bud in our own children. The basic assumption present in Jude is that the people who cause us trouble use pretense to hide who they really are. They are like hidden reefs. And so what do? The answer is simple. Apples don't grow on pear trees. We judge them by their fruit. Note how they present themselves and then ask if they bear fruit consistent with that presentation over time. May we use this wisdom in the election of our new officers. May we use this wisdom in deciding whether or not we should marry someone. May we use this wisdom to even see ourselves to glory in all the work that Christ has done with us, and also to repent. And may God grant us this moral discernment so that our ships stay afloat. Please pray with me.